sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode 191. Then how do you get people to do what you want? Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode. You know what? À un autre second episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. Shut Up Podcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lebanon. All right, before I start the show, I need to inform you, all you listeners, fuck it, because some of you all tend to forget, right? This podcast is a safe space for my thought, and it's protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Who's that blue? Who's
bitch? I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question,
are you an outcast?
This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on Sunday, July 2024. That's right, the Sabbath. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast ain't for you. I'm thinking on changing that last part to, instead of this episode is brought to you by Bora, this episode is rated F for Fuck Whitey. Listener discretion is advisable. Sorry, something was tickling my throat. I had to, that's why I drink a lot of water. Next time I should get something with a straw, eh? Yeah, okay, all right, yeah. So you don't hear me, I don't like the fact that you can hear me taking sips of water. But here we are. All right, okay. Like we always do, hey, special shout out to you new listeners. I just want to help you get familiarized with this podcast, my podcast. I like to break down my episodes into three parts, which I prefer to call acts. The first act is the intro. Second act is using random thought. It's called using random thought. And the last act is the final thought. Now, in the intro, so far in the intro, what you heard is the anthem, the theme song of the podcast, followed by the title of today's episode, and everything after that is salutation and what do you call that? Viewer discretion. What do you call that? What do you call those things? Warning. I gotta look it up. I'll look it up, but I'm not gonna do it now. Yeah, all right. Another thing I like to do in the intro is read off a quote. In this particular, I say quote, but in this particular time, I'm going with one. And it's going to relate to the final thought. And it goes, when we are no longer able to change a situation, just think of an incurable disease such as inoperable cancer, we are challenged to change ourselves, Viktor Frankl. Now, that's actually, that quote is going to touch on the overall theme of the final thought. But before we do that, we got to start up with some, warm you up with some news and random thoughts. See, you know, just random shit. See how my week went. See how the week went in general. So let's go. All right. What am I missing? Yeah. Okay. You ready? Let's go. Right. Ooh, yo, it's gonna be a scorcher this week, man. Bear with me. I was looking at the temperature for the week, and 30 plus. I think it's just one. In the NCR, in the National Capital Region. I don't know how it is in your neck of the woods, but shout out to, you know, let me see the weather in. Oh, Nunavut is a whole ass province, eh? Nunavut, because I'm easily distracted. Right, so let's say equal it. Oh, 8 degrees. Oh, wow. So it's plus 10, so I could survive that weather. I wonder if that's unusually warm for them. Wow, that's kind of warm. Holy shit, hold on a second. Yukon? Hold on a second. Oh. Sorry, time to feed the parakeet. All right, let me get on this. Sorry, you didn't hear me do some weather forecasting, but my point is, it's fucking warm. I don't know how to make the link between that and global warming. I mean, besides the earth is getting warm, but weird ass temperatures, man. I heard Italy's flooded. So that's, yeah, effects of global warming. All right. Okay. Hold on. Yeah, I am in the news at random thought. Okay. Let's focus. Okay. Step one, war on procrastination. Have you ever had, shout out to anyone who can relate to this, right? You have a simple task to do. And instead of doing it now, you fucking wait. You fucking wait to do it, you know, and then when you finally do it, you realize, damn, why didn't I do it before? So all this to say, I recently, I have a folder on my computer called Clips to Create, Sound Clips to Create, and it's all based on movies and shit like that, and and it was just sitting there. And yesterday, before getting high, I chose to but my point is, I updated my soundboard. My sound pad with some news clip, and the first one is
the Niggatron.
I think I'm gonna call my audience Niggatron, my fellow Niggatrons, or Megatrons. If you're white, you're a Megatron. Everyone else is a Niggatron. And if you're a black person who doesn't like being called the N-word, then Megatron it is. Yeah, I don't know, whatever. All right, and I got this.
Bouge bleu.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's what I mean is. But I also got this, and if I did it right, the sound will be okay. That's a bullet shot, all right? And then this, oh shit, that's gonna be too loud. Okay, and oh, I like this one.
You gotta snap some collars and let them motherfuckers know you gotta
take them out anytime you feel like it. I don't know when I'm gonna use it, but I know I might use this sometimes.
Y'all motherfuckers need to gang bang them books.
All right, you guys know who Terrence K. I don't know what his last name is. Terrence K. He's a black mega guy, and he makes me laugh. But you know, mega folks like him. But one time he started his podcast. I mean, his show, and with something like this, and I could see myself using it myself. Okay, brace yourself. Okay, this is gonna be this kind of podcast. This is the kind of podcast you're about to listen to.
I'm giving y'all a fair warning right now.
Uh huh.
If you are sensitive. You ain't gonna like this video.
Mm-mm.
Because I'm sick of holding back. A lot of people are not gonna like this, but I'm sick of holding back. I'm sick of not saying what I really wanna say. I'm sick and tired.
Yeah, okay, that's enough. All right. I know I might be using this one here. Hold on.
I gotta hear him, man.
I gotta find a spontaneous time to use it. Which one? Did I add a new one? Is that it? Oh, okay, and then I rearrange my sound clips. You know, I should move that here. Hold on a second. Let me just organize my desk a bit. Tabarnak, call this. Sorry. How many times have I said sorry so far on this episode? There we go. Bing. Nope, not this one. They mean to close the browser. Oh, well, what's done is done. Okay, I'm going to move you here and you here. There we go. Parfait. Okay, et puis toi, tu vas aller ici. All right, okay. It's a little shuffling of papers over here. Okay, all right. Yeah, War on Procrastination. So let me give myself a little props with a little bit of... Thank you. Yeah. Did I not have something else for... There we go. That's how I celebrate my accomplishments. Okay. Next item on the list. All right. Now, last episode, I talked about, this might be an ongoing thing, but I'm going to talk about, well, before I start, I'm going to say, Sonia Massey should be alive. Sonia Massey should be alive. All right. What else was I saying? All right. I was talking about, Kamala Harris, making sure I'm pronouncing it right. Kamala Harris. And, how I've been entertaining myself with all the attacks have been predictable. I just read somewhere that already some conservatives are already asking about her birth certificate, and they're gonna be shocked because they're gonna see the word California on it, because she's straight out of Oakland, California, where they're sparking on you. And the birthplace of the Black Panthers. Oh shit, that's what they might use against her. Are you gonna elect someone from the birthplace of the Black Panthers? Anyway, yeah. Shout out to Oakland, by the way. Yeah. I went to Oakland, and my God, black people showed me love. It was a different energy in Oakland. It's like, I just felt welcome. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. They didn't know me for shit, and everyone was just like, it's like, hey, brother. And they meant it. All right, where was I? Yeah, all right. Kamala Harris. And so predictable attacks. Let me go with the first predictable attack was, what's her name? It goes, when asked about Kamala Harris candidate. Oh, she's a candidate. Okay. Let me see what her name is. Her name is candidate from Wyoming. Harriet Hedgman. See, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. And she does look exactly like you would think she would look, right? And, yo, they ain't holding back. And she said, I don't like giving, whatever, fuck it, man. She goes, this is what she said.
I think she's one of the weakest candidates I've ever seen in the history of our country. Mm-hmm. I mean, intellectually, just really kind of the bottom of the barrel. Mm. And from the standpoint of just who she is and the policies, the positions that she's taken, her failure to do anything in terms of the border, that sort of thing, I think it's just a failure from top to bottom. I think she was a DEI hire.
DEI.
I think that that's what we're seeing. And I just don't think that they have anybody else. I just think that they're in real disarray.
Shut your mouth, Kane, bitch!
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, DEI hired. And, yeah, man, shout out to Kamala Harris for navigating through these crackers, these vultures. Right. Okay. You know, I think this was just an opportunity to be able to play. There we go. All right. No, I am not advocating the death of an American politician. But if they were to get hit by a bus, I will not miss them. All right, okay. So that was predictable. The one that caught me off guard, though, right? Like, again, I pride myself on not allowing racism to surprise me. And to be honest with you, it's kind of impossible. And this one here is, I am not going to, you know, I'm going to play it. And it goes, they use, and it's something I've always been scared of. What they did is they used AI to get, oh shit, okay, here, plot thickens. They used AI to get to get Kamala's voice to say shit about her. And to make it worse, Elon Musk is promoting this shit. He's the one who's sharing it. And it goes like this. I'm going to play it. So, but my point is, if you're in the barbershop and someone says some dumb shit about, but she said it herself, tell them it was AI. Here we go. Okay. And I'll just play it.
Kamala Harris, senior Democrat candidate for president, because Joe Biden finally exposed his senility at the debate. Thanks, Joe. I was selected because I am the ultimate diversity hire. I'm both a woman and a person of color. So if you criticize anything I say, you're both sexist and racist.
All right.
I may not know the first thing about running the country, but remember, that's a good thing if you're a deep state puppet. I had 4 years under the tutelage of the ultimate deep state puppet, a wonderful mentor, Joe Biden. Joe taught me rule number one, carefully hide your total incompetence. I take insignificant things and I discuss them as if they're significant. And I believe that exploring the significance of the insignificant is in itself significant.
Talking about the significance of the passage of time. Right, the significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time, and there is such.
I'm not going to play the whole thing. Let me just get to the end. He goes.
And by what has been, I mean Joe Biden. Do you think the country went to shit over the past 4 years? You ain't seen nothing yet.
My point is. Except for that last part, it all started real. It all sounded real. That's my point. Yeah. Anyways, I was entertained, man. I know some of you aren't. For me, it is, man. Look, that's how I navigate through racism. Sometimes it gets me. Sometimes I want to kill a motherfucker, and then sometimes it makes me laugh. Yeah. There you have it. But I can see some dumb. Acting like, oh, that's what she said. What the fuck? That's what she said. You know what? Hold on a second. I'm going to use... No, I ain't got time. I forgot that I got... House of Dragons about to play. Okay. I love to waste time. All right, okay. Next item on the agenda. Now, what's funny is I was about to ignore the fact that the Olympics... This is Olympic season. We're in the era of the Olympic. It's in Paris. I was going to ignore the Olympics, but... Every year I always say that. Not every year, but see, I used to be all into the whole all the world coming together and yada yada, all that bullshit, all that good feeling stuff. Yeah, I like things that make people happy. Give a reason for people to come together. But I can't forgive the Olympics for letting Israel play this year. I'm sure there ain't shit they could do about it. Even if, okay, let's pretend they didn't want them to play. I'm sure, fuck that. Israel has enough clout to be like, nah, fuck that. If you want any trouble, you don't want no problem. They're like Young Buck. I know you're going to let me slide. Fuck, I hate when I forget a lyric. It goes, I know what, let me in. Young Buck. Let me in. Is that the right name of the song? Yeah, it is Let Me In. Okay, G-G-G, you did. And, we get to the club, jumping from beginning to the end. Go shorty. I feel attention when I walk in the club. G-Unit to the sock, bitches all on the thug. Give me, okay, the chorus goes, I know you gonna let me shine with get mine. I know you gonna let me in with this nine. I know you gonna let me smoke a lot of weed. I know you gonna let me drink with no ID. Anyway, I say all this shit because I'm gonna touch on three things that I was unable to ignore about the Olympics. One, apparently Canada won a soccer game. I mean, whatever. Again, I'm not paying attention, but it did shock me to see. What? When did we learn how to play soccer? No disrespect to the soccer. I mean, I guess I'm being disrespectful to the soccer team, but come on, man. I'm from the old school. Canada was hockey, and soccer was not up. I remember I used to say that, look, man, we need to let in more people from countries that know how to play soccer. And I guess they've been reading the suggestion about it. But that's not what I came here to talk about. What I came to talk about was, the first one is, I did. Okay, this is my favorite one out of everything, right? Because I did bring up the... Israel playing, right? And okay, I'm gonna play a clip that I'm realizing it'd be better. I'll give you the setup, right? I guess Israel played the country of Mali, right? And I guess it ended in a tie. And a reporter is asking a gentleman to comment on the game, And beside him is, well, okay, here you'll hear the interruption. Here we go. And by the way, the video is going viral on the internet. If you haven't heard about it, then you get better friends. Here we go.
And what do you think about the game?
I thought it was a good game. I thought in the beginning Israel was better, but now Mali is getting is destroying them, I think. Israel is not bad. But I think Mali is going to destroy them.
No politics here.
No, I'm just talking about football. I'm just talking about football.
No politics here. Okay.
If I'm laughing, it's because Homie expressed his rage in three languages. First, he was like, fuck you. Needless to say, he's pro-Israel, pro-Zionist, pro-murdering children and genocide. Anyway, he's that motherfucker, right? And what made me laugh is how it ended with him saying, fuck you, and his wife. Shout out to his wife for backing him. Stand by your man. And no politic here. And then he goes, fully so voyez ces enculés. Hold on, what does I think enculé means? Some who takes it up the ass. Let me see, right? You would think, right? But he speaks to him in French, and then he says something in Italian. Well, he says, go fuck yourself in Italian. But enculé. Shout out to those of you who are listen to this podcast to learn how to speak French. By the way, for those who are confused, oh, it means fuck? No, it doesn't. Potentially, unblock. Enculé sur petit trou. Really? No, hold on. Let me, hold on a second. This can't be right. Enculé. Le verbe enculé. No. Oh shit, well, it's a good thing my parents aren't listening to this podcast. Okay. Diffusion de la rousse. All right, j'accepte. Well, okay. De cul. I feel like a child learning how to swear. Hold on.
Enculé.
Vulgaire, pratiquer sur quelqu'un le coït anal, so the man say, yeah, take it up, yes, yeah, okay, va te faire enculer, go get, don't take it up the butt, yeah. And it's just, I gotta tell you, man, I really love the difference between French Canadian, French Canada, and French France. And even when he's telling him to go fuck himself, it sounds nice. Here, hold on, one more time. Come on, c'est enculé. Okay, grow up, be black. Okay, I'm sorry. He actually said, how do you tell, come on, he actually said that. French, how to tell this guy to go fuck himself. I love it. All right, bringing people together. Okay, next I'm going to bring up is Céline Dion. Céline Dion singing at the Olympics. It felt good. I can't explain it. This is me stepping away from my black side, okay, and remembering my Franco-Ontarian, raised by, surrounded by Franco-Ontarian, my French-Canadian side, right? Black French-Canadian side. And watching her sing, granted she was singing some French song, but fuck it, doesn't matter. Seeing her back on stage, but watching her sing, There was like a sense of pride. There was a sense of kind of she's a big deal and all that. But there was, I can't explain it, man. I'm sure other people felt it. But there was a sense of, eh, parmi nous, she's one of us. She's like, it was just nice seeing her on stage. That's really what I was going to. Actually, okay, let me rephrase. I did not watch the opening ceremonies, but a friend shared the video and she was praising it. Praising her, and then I found myself feeling feelings while she sank. Okay, the last one I'm gonna bring up And this one is going to fall under church ratchetness. And for those of you who are not familiar, church ratchetness is my opportunity to talk shit about the church. And for those of you who are familiar with who are members of the Black Guy Who Tips community and thinking, hey, did you just steal from the Black Guy Who Tips? I'm saying, no, I want to remind you that they have sword ratchetness. I have church ratchetness. Okay. And their McDonald's were McDowell's. All right. That's it. All right. Let's not start shit where we need to start. All right. Where I'm going with this is long story short, is I'm blanking out. Oh, right. It was opening ceremony. Apparently, there was something in the ceremony that offended Christian. Spoiler alert, whatever, right? Again, these people are always upset. And whatever, that offended Christian. And there was a protest against it or whatever, just like Christians doing their usual thing, protesting about it. But what gets me the most, it's not the protest. It's the fact that punk ass, motherfucking sucker ass, Mr. Sex Trafficker himself, Andrew Tate, participated in the protest talking about, hey, don't offend Jesus, disrespect Jesus. And the reason why I'm making this church ration is because these people are bitching about others making a mockery of Christianity. This motherfucker himself claiming to be Christian. And I'm saying this as an ex-Christian, right? Claiming to be Christian and speaking out again. It's like, it's one of the things that bothered me about Christianity. Y'all bitch, they'll bitch about being disrespected, but won't say shit about. Okay, that's not fair. You know, no, fuck it. I'm expressing it. It's my goddamn podcast, all right? I'm expressing a rant. It just angers me to have the likes of Andrew Tate bitch about people disrespecting Christianity. Meanwhile, that dude is the worst thing to have happened to several women on this planet. Anyways, I'm going to leave it there. All right, next topic. Free Palestine. Oh, right, okay. Sorry, Africa. Yeah, there's like, I was going to play a clip of a black, you know, fuck it, I'm going to play it, whatever. It's a black Japanese man and a black guy speaking Japanese. Here we go.
Grazie di essere venuti qua alla mia presentazione. Sono felice di venire in una squadra con grande storia. Come Parma, io darò I massimo.
Oh, holy shit! Okay, hold on a second. Okay, it's not the fact that he's playing. it's okay. His name is Zion Suzuki. That's right. He's a Japanese goaltender playing a goaltender for the Japanese team. And he's speaking Italian, nationality. Oh, American Japanese. Oh, that's what makes it a big deal because, you know, Americans don't usually know shit. All right, wait, what the fuck? He's a professional Zuper who plays. Okay, my only point to this and bringing this up is the fact that how I initially acted like, wow. The same way some people acted when I told them that I was black Canadian. It's like, wow, you motherfuckers exist? And it just had me thinking about how white supremacy has me fucked up. In a sense that, of course, he's a human being. Of course he would be able to learn another language. The fact that we don't usually see that, it's fucking white supremacy. White supremacy had convinced that black people are the lowest of the lowest, can't do shit, barely speak the language that they were born with, barely speak French or English or whatever language they were born with. I'm just acknowledging that the word is... This thing is from New Jersey. Holy shit, I thought he was Japanese. Holy. Really, like, Suzuki was born in Newark, New Jersey, United States, to a Ghanaian American father and a Japanese mother, which makes sense. By the way, I've met a black Japanese person before. His family later moved to Japan, settling in Urawa, Saitama, where Suzuki was raised. Wow. I bet he gets chicks. All right, whatever, man. I'm just acknowledging homeboy. And fuck, I'm going to have to go for the Japanese team now. Yeah, okay. All right. That's it. The only reason I'm bringing them on. Zion Suzuki. Okay. Last item. And this one is a bit of a longer clip. But I'm going to start with saying, I'm going to start with explaining how I've always had this thought that I've had difficulty expressing. And it's like, I hate men. Shout out to the feminine. Shout out to the my hatred of men, ma colère envers les hommes. And I never had the words to explain it except now. So I'm gonna play this full clip by a therapist. His name is hold on, let me cue this thing before, let me hit pause before it's, there we go. It's Heal, Grow, Become. His name's Chris, Trauma Healing. And, you know, I'll play part of it. Links are in the show notes, by the way. all this information will be in the show notes. And and homeboy says what I haven't been able to articulate. But here we go.
I'm not sure if this is the kind of realness people are looking for, but I'm going to say it anyway. A lot of women, if not all women, they're in therapy today because of men. Mm. A lot of kids are in therapy today because of men. Mm. Like I said, I don't know if this is the kind of realness you're looking for, but I'm going to say it anyway. In a society where men are the center, men become the source of the problems. I'm a therapist, and I promise you, out of every 10 clients that I see every day, 9 are women, if not all 10. In fact, the majority of women that I see, the majority of clients that I see every day, they are women. Men are not in therapy. They are out playing golf. They are out playing tennis. They are out drinking. They are out hiking. And all those things, they're not therapeutic. There is nothing therapeutic about a golf match if you're going to go back home and abuse your kids and your wife. There is nothing therapeutic about a hiking if you're coming back home to neglect your kids and wife. There is nothing therapeutic about going out to watch a soccer match if you're coming back home to abuse your wife and kids. There is nothing therapeutic about it. Everything else that you do, for as long as you are avoiding the conversations you must be having with yourself and with someone else that can help you to objectively reflect on your life and your choices. Men are the problem. We are the problem. I am part of the problem. I promise you, if a lot of men could heal, a lot would change today. And some of you men will come here and say, hey, you're simping and you're trying to be a pick-me. But guess what? You are the real pick-me. You are the real pick-me hiding behind expensive cars and expensive clothes, buying expensive clothes whilst neglecting your kids. You are the real pick-me. You are doing that because you want more women to see you. Mm-hmm. And you've subscribed into this red pill content that says have more money and you can have any woman you want. But guess what? The only women you'll have with your money are the women that have been damaged by another man. So we're simply recycling these women. You are the real pick me because you're doing nothing to heal. Whilst believing that if you have more money, you become the alpha male and therefore you'll have any woman you want. Your choice of women is limited to broken women, women that have been broken by men. Kids are suffering because of absent fathers. Women are struggling as single parents because of absent fathers. I promise you, men are the problem. Men are the problem. You need to heal. If you look at the type of women you're attracting, they're damaged women. Who damaged them? Some other men. Your mother has a lot of trauma. From who? Your father. Your grandmother has a lot of trauma. From whom? Your grandfather. There are more women in therapy today than there are men. And you have to understand that having more women in therapy today is the equivalent of having women in war, fighting battles whilst men are doing nothing. Yes, I said it. Having women in therapy today is an equivalent of having more women in the battlefield fighting battles whilst men are doing nothing. If men can change their ways, if men can be fully responsible and accountable, a lot will change. Because if men can heal, then they can change even their attractions. And so those broken women will have no other choice but to heal as well. Because they still want to be chosen by these men. I almost forgot this part. Just in case you think I'm out here just rambling about nothing, I know there are a lot of psychologists, therapists, life coaches, and or even psychotherapists on this app. Please teach this video and share your stats. Tell us how many men you have in therapy as compared to women. I need you guys to see something. Maybe my content doesn't relate to men and therefore they might be going somewhere. And so if there's someone here who can stitch this video and share their stats, please do. Thank you.
All right. I just realized that what I should have said is, when I say I hate men, I really meant to say, I hate men who refuse to heal. Who think their trauma, their hurt, their whatever causes them to be evil, bad people, they treat it as a badge of honor or something that can't be changed or something that the rest of the world needs to accept. I hate men like some white people, you know, the same way white people hate white people, the same way white people hate white people who refuse to learn about white supremacy, the same way Jewish people hate Zionists. Do you know what I mean? Like, I believe in the idea that we're human first. We need to be cool. We need to be kind. We need to be good to all each other. But we've all been raised in systems, and we've all been raised in ways to be shitty to each other. My theory is the folks who rule us, the folks who like keep us in check. I don't mean like in bad, whatever. The folks who keep this society organized, the only way they can do that is by finding ways to separate us. And whatever. But my point is, human being first, everything is after. So, yes, to the men out there confused, but you're a man, you shouldn't be talking like that. I think what happened is, at some point in my life, the things that feminists were saying, feminism, womanism, were saying, is it womanist? Yeah. Started to make sense. All these dudes that I like looked up to, got advice from about the opposite sex, about what it means to be a man. It's only when I became an adult that I'm like, oh no, they're broken people. They don't know shit. I was being misled. They're broken folks. I'm like looking up to people who need me to feel beneath them. You know, there's a part that, the part he was saying about broken women, I can relate to that. I was raised by women. Like, I am familiar with being around women who have nothing good to say about their mate. And who, like, raised their male children to be like, you're not going to be a threat to me, young little boy. And it's as selfish as it is, but I get why they would end up that way. It sounds like I'm just trying to justify. What I'm saying is, I'm sure there's some guys who heard this and said, wait a minute, let me tell you my story about my mother, about my ex, about my current wife. And the evil that she's done. I've been abused. I can relate to that. I guess I don't know enough to speak about your situation. I can understand if you dismiss this message. But I am talking to the males who are like at the point of, who are suspicious, who suspect, I'm not preaching, I swear, who suspicious, suspect, or recognize that how we can be the problem. I love what he said about, oh, you think I'm being a pick me? You think I'm doing this to get chicks? Nah, motherfucker. I'm trying to heal the humanity here. I'm trying to take responsibilities for my actions. Now, again, I did start out the segment with I hate men. Maybe I was trying to be provocative. I'm not trying to mince words. I know it sounds strange. It should be in our vocabulary. But to be specific, men who refuse to heal, refuse to acknowledge that they need to heal. Bunch of tough guys. Fake ass tough guys. Anyways, homeboy said everything that I could have said. But the last thing I will say, that everything he just said about therapy is a setup for Final Thought. So with that said, this concludes News and Random Thoughts. Okay. And then let's jump to the final act. All right. Yeah. Final act, because I need to go watch House of Dragons. All right. What was I going to say? House of the Dragon? It's House of the Dragons. All right. Let's go. Oh, man. It's 9:13. Okay. All right. Let me get to... Okay. What's up with today's title? Where do we start? Okay. Let me just clear things up as I try to make sense of my thoughts here. I was thinking of making this segment. Initially, it was a bitch fest about therapy. I was going to rant about therapy. I was going to articulate. The last two sessions that I've had were not my favorite ones. And this is an issue. And I want to be careful that I'm not saying... last two class was difficult. It's more like, I get the feeling everything I'm about to say was expected. I think what's going on is therapy is getting more challenging. And before I get to that, so this is my setup. Before I get to that, let me explain today's title. Okay, then how do you get people to do what you want? I'm just cleaning that up. Then, feel good. How do you get people to do what you want? A lot of letters, eh? 1, 2, 3, 4. And this is a quote I got from The Sopranos. And, I'm going to play a 30-second segment of where I got this clip from. Here we go.
You can't control everything that happens.
But you can get pissed off.
And then what? Lose control?
Who said anything about that? You direct your anger where it belongs.
You have panic attacks. Panic occurs when feelings of anger, revenge, whatever, overwhelm you. That's where behavioral therapy comes in. It can teach you to control those triggers.
And how do you get people to do what you want?
Message!
So let me take you back. I remember seeing this scene. Okay, first let me explain that this is from The Sopranos, episode season 3, episode 4, titled Employee of the Month. I should warn you, it's a hard episode to watch. Spoiler alert, I mean to tell you what's going on, but they've set it up so you can relate to this. This is like this final moment, this scene, as the viewer will connect to that scene, and it's probably one of the scenes that make this show so amazing, at least to me. And when I go on the list of my favorite, there was a time where I thought I was getting tired of The Sopranos, but no. The thing with Sopranos is, for me, not every episode hits me right. This is like on my top 10 favorite episodes. Employee of the Month. That's all I'm trying to say. Now, where I'm going with this is, when we get to that part and it goes, then how do you get people to do what you want? And then it switches to another scene. I'm looking like I want a fucking answer. I'm agreeing with Tony. Tony's got a good point. Answer his question. The fact that the writers, directors chose to switch to leave that question leave you hanging. It's more to say that, I guess it's to get you thinking. I guess it's to get you thinking. At least that's my suspicion. And shout out to James Goldolfini, because I relate to that confused look on his face. Because he's hearing her. He's saying, okay, you're saying I need to check my anger. But my anger is what I use to keep people in check. I was debating on... The fuck is that? Oh, God damn it. Yeah, I was debating on whether the... Like, what I was thinking of... what to call this episode. I was considering calling it... or using a verse from I Gave You Power by Nas. Or Who Shot You by Biggie. And, okay... Where I'm going with this, the reason, okay, I was talking about a gun, talking about violence, and the reason where I'm going with this is because, and I'm being careful because there's only so much I want to disclose about my what's going on in my current therapy session, but I'm learning about the concept of boundaries. Not just boundaries, but enforcing boundaries. Now, in my world, I say my world, but the way I learned it, because, Haitian parents don't teach you about boundaries. As far as you're concerned, you put boundaries with me, that's a sign of you don't love me. yeah, I know I'm generalizing Haitian parents, but the concept of boundaries has always been something, has always been a challenge for me since day one. I've never known the difference. For me, boundary meant, like, I didn't know the line between being aggressive and being passive. So I would always default to being passive. I bring up I Give You Power and all that because I relate to that scene in Juice when Bishop holds the gun for the first time. And I felt this was his answer to the question, how do you get people to do what you want? So the reason why this was going to be a rant against therapy, a rant about therapy, is because I can understand why the challenge with therapy, and it was something that I had to overcome, is there's shit that's happened in your life and shit you've observed about life, and you're going to go into therapy and it's going to be, we're going to give you a coping mechanism. It's like, nah. When I first went into therapy, I wanted the courage to put people in check. Instead, I've been learning accepting the fact that there's certain things I can't change. Here, let me read what I wrote for myself. I said, there are times when there are times in therapy where I don't feel like I'm the one who needs to check himself. It's like some motherfuckers just need to get it right. I never brought on stage, but I did present it at a Toastmaster speech. And I joked about how King Jong-un, it's kind of truth, but King Jong-un was my favorite dictator. And I was doing a speech about, it was meant to be a persuasive speech about when you go on stage, own it. This is your space. This is like you take control. And if you have to, some people visualize themselves, visualize their audience naked. I visualize myself being King Jong-un. And I have the military behind me. And I go on, and when I go to speak, your ass is listening. I don't give a fuck if I'm speaking a language you don't understand. You're paying attention, or else, for a green card. That's what it is. I'm listening to Tony ask the question, how do you get people to do what you want, and I'm balancing with that, and I guess the answer is you let go of your ability to control people. You enforce boundaries. I mean, again, that's my challenge right now. That's what's being. That's what I'm figuring out. again, a reminder on this podcast, I don't offer solutions. I'm just a guy who think things through. I say shit that maybe someone might connect with, and I'm hoping that, you know, holler at me. Share your thoughts. Is boundaries something that you've been having a challenge with? I mean, let me get this. I've been getting better at it, but the part that's still in development is like bothers me. It's enough to be like, oh man, I let that motherfucker cut me off. I'm a bitch. I bet he wouldn't have done it if I had a 9mm. I think the challenge is letting go of the fact that I have no control over others but myself. With that said, I'm willing to adopt that philosophy, but I ain't trying to look like a punk-ass bitch. I'm imitating Pooh. Do the chair know we gonna look like some punk-ass bitch? Do you know what I mean? That's my challenge. It's I want to let go what I can't control, but I don't want to be a bitch. Last point is, I know, deep down inside, I know it's kind of ludicrous to expect things to go your way, to go exactly how you want. I have a colleague I work with, and we work in the service industry. And every once in a while, clients piss them off. It happens, right? You work in the service industry, the people you deal with will piss you off. And I'm like, and I'm surprised I'm the one telling them this. And I'm trying to say, like, dude, you shouldn't be letting them. And out of all people, I'm the one who shouldn't be. It's got, you know, you're fucked up when I'm the one telling you this shit. I'm saying, yo, dude, you can't be letting these motherfuckers raise your blood pressure like that. We all believe in the mindset and in the idea that, yo, your inability to plan, your failure to plan is not emergency to me. We know that. But he allows himself to have clients who are like fucking up and like, hey man, I told you motherfuckers say Simon Says. He's allowing other people to drive his blood pressure. Now the real reason I give a fuck, because, you know, as far as I'm concerned, he dies from a heart attack. It's not my problem. It's because then he becomes a fucking asshole with the rest of them. He becomes a pain to deal with the rest of us. That's the hidden agenda. And it's like, I'm trying to, it's funny, is I'm on one end, I'm trying to say, like, yeah, man, don't let them phase you, a la Tupac. Don't let them drive you crazy, man. Hold on to your sanity. It ain't worth it. Find a way to say woosa. If they don't act right, then cut them off. Whatever, but do what you need to do to preserve your peace. And what's fucked up, me telling them, because that's my struggle right now. That's the other thing too. I guess with boundaries is if it's someone challenges your peace, you gotta be creates discomfort in you. You gotta be like, yeah, man, do that shit again. I'm gonna fuck you up. See, I bet King Jong Un, he doesn't have to like worry about boundaries. Well, I guess the people who work for him are like, hey, is he a bitch that don't eat him alive? You know, it's yeah. Okay, I'm going to conclude. Boundaries versus, I was going to say being a bitch. No, it's more, I'm just going to end it with my journey into practicing boundary. Not has been, is a fucking challenge, is a challenge. I'm going through it. Like, challenge to the point where I'm like, about to talk back to my therapist. It's like, that shit's gonna work. Let me see your degree. It's a challenge. I think I'm just gonna leave it at that. It's a challenge. Yeah. Initially, I was gonna start with complaining about therapy, but really, because initially when I prepared this subject, and then I'm realizing that, nah, it's less therapy. It's just my journey that's like fucking with me. Anyways. This concludes today's episode. But before I end, I want you to check out other links, my other link section in the show notes. I got the first one, Soprano Le Divin, and it's the track that nearly got the title for today's episode. And because the rapper's name is Soprano, and Le Divin, it means couch. And basically, he's just talking about how he's a rapper, rapping from from the seat of his psychiatrist. Thought it was dope, right? And American Bro. Oh, right. I think Deadpool, my favorite link. A bunch of Christians are complaining about Deadpool 3. And now it looks like I got to go. Thank you for the advertisement. And everything, yeah. Yeah, everything else is meant to be funny. All right. Okay. This concludes today's episode. Thank you for listening. Before I forget, holler at me at shutuppodcast.com. If you're old school and prefer to email me, the email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Again, shutuppodcast.com. You can find the RSS feed for the website. Excuse me. You can find the RSS feed to subscribe to the podcast on there if you can't happen to find me on your favorite podcatcher. All right. With all that said, thank you for listening. And remember, please, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.